It's the Who's On First Baseball Show with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson.
The fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Talking all things baseball on the Coach's Corner Sports Network.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
Woo! And here we are, the coach and the baseball fanatic.
What's up? And welcome to the Who's On First Base Baseball Podcast, episode number 4, with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and of course, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson, and it's all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. That's right, we got 5 shows on the Coach's Corner Sports Network. 3 go live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and the other 2 are podcasts. So Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you may want, you can listen to it, TuneIn Radio, so we're there. First of all, we got Rubbin' and Grubbin' on Wednesday nights with Brandon Baines, okay, the producer, Lawrence Bennett, all talking NASCAR and grubbin' food. Then we got the Coach and AD Wednesday Night Live and Saturday Morning Live. Then we got the 19th hole, just finished with the Herb Brothers. They did a great job with the Masters. Then the 2 podcasts. First one is, of course, Hot Grids Podcast with Spencer Maddox and, of course, Travis Judon. And, of course, yours truly, after 4 years on the radio, we're back stepping up to the plate on the internets with the Who's On First Base Baseball Podcast. And once again, it's all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. Kyle, good evening. We got a week under our belt. You got to be loving it.
I was about to say, Coach, a lot of crazy stuff going on. I've enjoyed watching pretty much every game. A couple of good victories for the Braves, a couple of really tough losses. And yeah, we'll get into all that. But before we lead this off, I love those 70s throwback uniforms. They are some of the best throwbacks in baseball. They wore them all weekend. And, I love throwback jerseys. So that was probably my favorite part of the weekend, watching the Braves.
And what year did they wear them?
Well, let's see. They definitely wore them in 74, I can tell you that.
Okay.
So the year that Hammer and Hank broke the record, yeah. He definitely wore that jersey. But, yeah, to me, those are some of the best throwbacks in baseball. I love them, even down to the helmets. They even have the blue and white helmets with the lowercase A. I love those.
It was sweet. It was sweet. It was definitely sweet. So I agree with you 100%. And, just when I saw them on the first night they wore them, it was exciting because it brings me back to my youth. I know you weren't around. Were you around 1974?
Oh, no. I was – -8. Yeah.
So yeah. Well, I'll give my age away. I was 13 years old. So it was pretty special, and especially when Hank Aaron hit that 715th home run. It didn't matter to me whether he's white or black. The man broke the home run record, and I still consider him the home run king because he didn't use performance enhancing drugs. But none of those other guys will admit to it.
Yeah, I was about to say. Hank was amazing, and you look at that great career. And I just love that he's got his number retired by, Milwaukee and Atlanta, which is only right because he played in both of those great cities. He's still the best baseball player Milwaukee's ever seen. And, he's still, Mr. Braves. It is what it is. So, I love those uniforms. And yeah, and I go back and I listen to that old Milo Hamilton call. And it's crazy. You got 3 Hall of Fame broadcasters that actually called that game. You got Kurt Gowdy on NBC, but the one that's remembered the most is the Milo Hamilton call, a guy who broadcasted for everybody, and he just, it was absolutely, off of Al Downing, unbelievable. But back to the modern day Braves.
All right. We're off to a rocky start. We're like this every year with the Braves. And the Braves fans are jumping off ship and they're all nervous.
It is what it is right now, Coach. You're 10 games in. You have a couple of tough outings against Philadelphia. You win the doubleheader, the makeup game, because of the COVID issues with the Washington Nationals. And then you have a really weird game over the weekend where, replay got it wrong. Bohm did not have his foot in on the slide for Philadelphia, and they win 7-6. And then last night, the bullpen goes haywire, wasting Noah's start. Noah pitched incredibly well. Chris Martin had his issues. They end up losing 5-3. you know, and obviously it was sort of, you know, aided a little bit because, you know, keep in mind, we're still using the new rule where you have a runner at second in the 10th inning. So they're 4-6 right now. A lot of baseball to be played. They're going to get back to it tonight. I'm not too worried about it right now. I'm just not.
All right. We're going back to the old guy. All right. Good. The play at the plate was bang, bang. If we didn't have all this social media equipment, replays, and all this other stuff, it would have been over. Done deal. It's over with.
It would have been. And I'm not against replays.
Hold it. It's my turn. We got to go through every single angle. We got to go through every single inch. And they still got it wrong. But you know what? We're human beings. That's the greatest thing about being an umpire or a football official or a basketball official or a soccer official or across. We're human beings. Let's keep the human being in the game. But we can't do that anymore. We got to go to this camera. We got to go to that camera. We got to go to a replay. We got to go to somebody in New York, somebody on the moon. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, that
actually
that's part
of the game. That's why people don't want to be umpires. That's why people don't want to be officials. Okay?
It's a thankless job.
You have to have thick skin.
You have to. Otherwise, why would you do it?
Well,
I mean, and some of these guys that are making these calls are the best of the best. I'm fine with replay. I love it. They got it wrong, and it cost the Braves. Now,
but you know what, Kyle? Whoa. It carries on into then the minor leagues. It carries on into college. It carries on into high school. And the sad part, Kyle, it carries on into Little League. It's ridiculous.
And it's because, I don't think you're ever going to.
It's because of what you saw the other night. Everybody's got to scrutinize everything. Just let them play the game. Let them be umpires. Let them be human beings. But we can't do that anymore. So, okay, I'm off my box. Let's go.
All right, that's fine. I agree. Replay is here to stay. I'm fine with it. I get your concern, but it's here, and 9 times out of 10, it works. Now, let me talk to you about a couple of fun things.
It's the one time that everybody remembers, okay?
There we go. So, all right. Acuna continues to do crazy things over the weekend. Now, he didn't hit a 456-foot home run. It was only 428, no big deal. And he scored on one of the shortest to tie the game. He scored on one of the shortest sacrifice flies I have ever seen. The kid can run like a deer. He is an absolute joy to watch, and he's becoming the most exciting player in the National League right now, and I just enjoy it so much.
I know in the last 4 games, he's 10 for 15,
yes.
67 with 2 home runs. That's the note I wrote down. It's simply unbelievable what this kid is doing.
It's a great 10-game stretch. You know, he was a player of the week already this season. He can run. He can play defense. He can play anywhere in the outfield that you want right now. And, the Braves are going to be completely fine. Now, tonight, they get back at it. What I want to see tonight, Max Fried's going out there. He had a really good opening day start. He got knocked around pretty good last time. He, in his second start, he gave up 5 runs over the 2 innings. I think he's going to rebound. He's going against a tough righty in Pablo Lopez. Now, they're playing the Marlins, a team they're going to see a ton. They're obviously starting off playing a lot in the East right now. Game gets started tonight at 7:20. Truist Park continuing a 4-game set. I think Max is going to rebound. We really need him to.
Well, here's a stat that I found. I'm getting like you. I'm searching these stats left and right, okay?
This is what we do.
He's set for his 7th career appearance, all starts against the Fish, the Marlins.
Right.
Okay?
Correct.
And this is, I think, one of the worst teams he has with an ERA of 5.13. He's given up 15 earned runs in 26.1 innings over his last 6 games against the Marlins. The Marlins got his number. I mean, I hope he comes out tonight and he's better than the Warriors' last outing, but you got to worry about it. The Marlins, for some reason, I know you say, Coach, well, this is the new year. They have his number.
Well, historically they have, and they're not – I mean, everybody in that division is fairly strong right now. Philadelphia got off to a big start. The Marlins by no means are a slouch, and they're going to be a big spoiler this season. They've got a lot of really strong young players, you know, Sandy Alcantara, guys like that, and the guy they're facing tonight in Pablo Lopez. You know, he's got a, you know, mid-1s ERA. You know, he's definitely got some stuff. He's a tough right-hander. So Max really needs to go out and dominate and really give Snit some innings. The bats are going to come around a little bit. I'm not too worried about it right now, but they definitely have to try to track Philadelphia down fairly early in the season. But I don't watch the scoreboard. I don't look at records until about the 40th game of the season. But Max needs to go out and get some he just needs to be consistent. Just go out there, try to give you 6-7 innings. We'll see what happens right now. Not too worried about that. Go ahead. What you got?
Just want to let people know who they're listening to.
Well, you should.
And you're listening, of course, to the Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and, of course, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. It's all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network, and we're talking all things baseball. All right, so we talked about the rocky start, 4 losses, 4 wins, a heartbreaker. The replay takes it away from you. Last night, the bullpen blows it. But let's talk about a little about the prospects.
Okay, so I love doing this. This has been a big part of our show when the Braves are going through their rebuild. And, you know, it's being overseen very well by Alex Anthopoulos in the front office. Right now, I want to talk a little bit about our top 3 prospects according to MLB.com. Of course, it starts with Christian Pache, who has started the season as the center fielder for the big boy Braves. And he's gotten off to a little bit of a rocky start with the bat. I still think it's going to come around. He's got raw power. He's got some postseason at-bats. Gold glove caliber in center field. This kid's going to be around for a while. Coach, what do you think? Do you think the bat's going to come around?
Yes, he's batting 172, okay? And we get worried when you hear 172. Isn't that below the Mendoza line?
That's considered below the famous Mario Mendoza line. But you look at that, just a handful of – he's got 28 at-bats. He's only got 5 hits right now. He's going to come around. He is starting off a little bit slow. Obviously had a little bit of a rough spring, but that bat is still developing. Look how young this kid is. But you see what he does with that glove out in center field. I'm not worried about it.
No, I mean, look who else will wear number 25.
Andrew Jones. There you go.
You know, Andrew Jones started out slow too, didn't he?
Well, he did, and I mean, obviously, it was just a matter of developing that raw talent. He's got this great – I mean, he's got the power. He can do it. He can hit to all fields. More importantly, what he gives you with the glove, when else you got the rest of the bats – rest of these bats in the lineup, I mean, I think he's going to be completely fine. Of course, it was going to be a learning curve, but he was clearly the best option at center field this season. But because of his at-bats, he's still listed as a number one prospect in the system.
All right, number 2 prospect who happens to be behind Mr. Pache is Drew Waters. I mean, Georgia boy, he's with the Mississippi Braves, Double A. I mean, some of the highlights of this guy. Let me get my highlights. I know he won a batting title in minor leagues, and he's in the outfield, but he's sitting behind Christian Pache. So, what do you think Mr. Waters is going to do as being the number 2 prospect in the Braves organization?
Now, you see, this is kind of interesting because you look at how deep the Braves system is. I mean, we've talked about how deep they've had it with pitching. Obviously, guys like Soroka and Ian Anderson coming through the system. Drew Waters, he's a guy, it's going to be tough to crack this lineup. Now, if he does stick with the Braves for the season, of course, he's going to start the year at the alternate site because ideally he would have started at Gwinnett, but with that being delayed, he's a switch hitter. He's a center fielder with range. It's going to be tough to crack the lineup with Pache. As I just said, he can play all 3 spots in the outfield, incredibly strong arm, and he can drive to all fields. Had some really good performances at the alt site in Gwinnett last year. And, you know, former second rounder, local Georgia boy. To see him get to the show, it's possible that it'll happen this year. I know it's been projected by most critics, and especially by MLB.com. I think this could be a trade piece, but I think they're going to wait and see. They're going to let him develop. They're going to let him develop in Gwinnett. And, you know, an injury comes up. That kid's coming up. He's the first call that they're probably going to make to bring him up. And I know that's a little bit bold because you have some veteran outfielders that are in the system right now, that are at the alternate site right now. But I really believe they want to get up, bring this kid up and get his feet wet. And it could be a September call-up. It could be sooner. We don't know right now, but I'm excited to see where he goes. Worst case scenario, he's a trade chip that hopefully he'll bring back a little bit in the future. We got one more for you, though.
I was surprised because I thought Contreras was ahead of this guy.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised by that, too. And obviously, he's already had a little bit of time. We're talking about a former college catcher who played, and I still think he's about a year away. And he went to Baylor. He played A-ball. He's going to probably start with A-ball in Augusta, playing with the Green Jackets right now. Could see some time with Mississippi. Former first-round pick. He was 9th overall. A strong defensive catcher. Now, the reason I think he hasn't made the jump as of yet, his bat's just not there right now. He needs to develop some solid – he has solid mechanics. He can hit the ball to all fields right now, but the bat just isn't there. I think the landing spot for him this year is Double-A. And so – and, of course, Shea Langeliers. Of course, I get through my entire spiel without mentioning the player's name. Thank you, Coach.
It happens. It happens. You on a roll. I didn't want to.
Why it's a podcast. So there we go.
On a roll. So.
Oh, I love it. But yeah, Shea Langeliers. He's a name that we've talked about. A player we've talked about a couple of times right now. I mean, again, what we'll see what he can do if he can develop. Now, of course, you mentioned William Contreras, the younger brother of all-star catcher Wilson Contreras from the Chicago Cubs, But William will get some time up here this year. I know I went off on a bit of a tangent there, but Shea Langeliers he's a good receiver. He's got a very strong arm. Scouts have said he can frame unbelievably well. And I still feel like there will be a very good chance we're going to see him in the near future. Once again, you're looking at, we're going to lose Travis d'Arnaud at the end of the year. So I think this is going to be a big development year for Langeliers. And, if Contreras does make the jump and ends up actually being the starting catcher for the Braves, if he develops, don't be surprised to see Shea not too far behind. Worst case scenario, he's another trade piece.
You're listening to the Who's on First Base baseball podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and, of course, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson, and we're all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. Okay, but perfect segue. Josh Reddick. Josh Reddick gets picked up.
It was great to see that Josh Reddick did get picked up by the Arizona Diamondbacks. Was a little bit sure, he's a veteran right now to see if he would actually come back and play another year. But there, we were just waiting to see. So he gets a minor league deal. He's going to go to the Salt River Flats alternate site out in Arizona with a chance to make the big league team. It's a $750,000 contract, and he's reunited with his minor league manager that he had when he was in the Boston Red Sox organization, Torey Lovullo, who is currently the manager for the Arizona Diamondbacks. The best of luck to Josh, and I know he's going to find a way to get in that lineup. I know he's on his way out there right now to the alternate site. Get ready, get fit, and I'm sure they're going to have some work for him in right field. So, good for Josh. Keep his career going. And he tweeted earlier, it's a new chapter, new organization. He's got a ring. He has all kinds of gravitas. And he's one of the best players to come out of Southeast Georgia in a long time. So congratulations to Josh.
He's picked up by a team. But I'm telling you right now, if you follow the 1C World Tour and they went out to Mobile, Alabama, they played at the Hank. This man with the voice. Hank Aaron Stadium for two nights. He's the voice of Grayson Stadium. This guy can get the ghost dancing at either stadium. I'm telling you right now, Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun. And
all right, but you missed the whole shtick of introducing our next guest. I mean, Josh Reddick paying for guys to come try out for the premier team. He goes out to Mobile, Alabama, the Hank Aaron Stadium. He gets the ghost dancing up there. He gets the ghost dancing in Grayson Stadium. Joining us on the Coach's Corner hot seat is the voice of the Bananas, the stadium entertainer, and he does a great job, the Shark, Mark Summers. Mark Edis, Mark Summers, I don't care. He's like me. Don't call us late for dinner.
Exactly right. Doesn't matter what you call me. I'm here. How y'all fellas doing?
Doing good, Mark.
I'm playing poker right now while we chat.
I love it. Excellent.
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys heard, but we changed some traditions around the baseball game. We're not doing the national anthem anymore. I don't know if you guys heard about that, but we're not doing that anymore. old hat.
So what are you going to do?
We're going to do what I did. Like, I've always been a big dude. I felt so tiny when I started the ball game by doing out to the ball game. It was pretty nuts. And I'll explain what happened if you care to hear about it.
And it's one, and it's two, and a three. Explain it, Shark.
So when we've done this at Grayson before, I've always just taken it. I say, you know, all right, fans, we're going to go ahead. We're going to start the game with the national anthem. Da, 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 da. So I have control the entire time. For whatever reason, Jesse had it, and he kicked it to me, and it just threw me off. So he says, all right, Shark, let's get this crowd of 3,500 people going together. I was like, all right. And I start counting down. I have no idea what happened, but we started a new tradition, I think. I would love to sit here and tell you it was on purpose. It was absolutely not.
Well, before Kyle throws some questions at you, I was listening rather than I was watching because I am a Bananas insider, and I'm saying, this is great. This is great. They're doing something that's not traditional. We're going to put me out to the ballpark, and then I hear Jesse say, Mark, national anthem, Shark, national anthem. So, but I'm telling you right now, I thought it was going to be something special. Hey, I would play Take Me Out to the Ball Game in the first inning, the seventh inning, whenever you want to play, and then throw the national anthem in there.
Well, the thing was, I didn't find out till later that people actually started singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game like it was supposed to be what's going on. That's the part that freaked me out and made me feel a little bit better. But when I tell you I felt this small, I mean, I'm not even – but it was pretty perfect.
It's just one of those things that happens, and that's what makes baseball great, just how little traditions get started with different ball clubs. And I got to say, okay, since you've been doing this, what do you think has been the most fun thing that has happened to you as the broadcaster and entertainer for the Bananas?
Man, that's a tough question because, I mean, it's been so much. But, I mean, this Mobile, Alabama experience has been I'm in the closet. I take a little break from the poker game. The Mobile experience, I don't think anybody thought it would become what it did become. And I know Biko touched on this 2 weeks ago when you guys had him on. The amount of people that showed up to Hank Aaron Stadium already in Bananas garb was incredible. Yes, we sold a lot of garb and merch in Mobile, but the amount of people in line already with Bananas colors on and their hats and then the shirts was just, you thought it was a home game. It was absolutely unreal. They came to party. They were loud. That makes my job in the booth so easy. If the crowd is ready to already be engaged. And I mean, from the jump, from the time that we sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game to start the game, they were ready to party. It was awesome. It was such a great app. No, I mean, I joke, but the crowd was absolutely electric from the time the gates opened. There's a big line. And Biko told you that. The people that were lined up, I think, an hour before gates opened, told us what we were looking for. I didn't know personally what this would be like or what people would think about what we did, the show we do, but they bought into it from the second the gates opened and even before that, and they had a great time. It was such a great experience for us as members of the team. The show itself was just so much fun to put on for that crowd.
I mean, go ahead, Coach.
No, go ahead, Kyle. You go.
Oh, no, I was just saying, yeah, the videos that I saw were great. You're playing in a AA stadium, a lot of history. You know, it just looked like an absolute ball, and, I mean, I couldn't get enough of it.
Shark, are you there?
Uh-oh, did I lose you guys?
We got you back right now. Are you there?
Yeah, we can cut it. Yeah.
We can edit it. Yeah, the your mic's off now. Your mic's off.
Oh, it's
on. You guys still there? Did I lose you?
Yeah, we got you. We got you. We got you. Continue.
Well, I missed the end of your story, Mr. Kyle.
No, yeah, Kyle, take it over again.
Great, Jesse.
Trying to think what the heck I was talking about there for a second. but no, I was just saying, you know, it just looked like a great atmosphere, you know, two nights in a row. You're going to a AA stadium, you know, with a lot of history. Yeah, it just looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah, the second night, a tribute to Hank Aaron, of course, at Hank Aaron Stadium, the park named him, and an honor to be there. I mean, that place, sad to think that ballpark isn't used on a regular basis for professional baseball anymore.
It's unbelievable.
The park is so gorgeous. The you know, the area around the park is nice. The hotel we stayed at
literally 500 yards away, which was very, you know, nice to have those accommodations. But the city of Mobile really was an incredible host. We were very happy to be there, but the crowd, I'm telling you, there's nothing better than the Grayson Stadium crowd that we have in Savannah. But Mobile was a super fun town. First time I'd ever been there, for sure, but a super fun town who appreciate the game. And like I said, it's really kind of a shame that ballpark's not being used on a regular basis.
Well, you know, Shark, they call it the Little NOLA.
The Little NOLA. I did not know that. Oh,
yes, New Orleans.
Yeah. And one of the cool experiences, I don't know why this made me think of this, but before the game, I guess you knew, everybody saw the pictures of Jake Peavy hanging out, Cy Young Award winner, World Series champ twice.
I didn't even know that.
So super nice guy. Met him after the second game. And then after we went to our after party to celebrate what we just done, he was hanging out at the bar and we kind of started, starting up a conversation. We ended up going over to his music studio. He's a big music head now. He has a bunch of it's a whole music studio in downtown Mobile. Took me and Biko over there, and me and Zach Frangillo, who's one of the new guys over at the Bananas. And we went over there, hung out. He's got an autographed Boston Red Sox 2013 World Series guitar signed by the entire team. Super cool piece of memorabilia. But yeah, the people I met down there, the experiences we had, the experiences that the crowd had, like, I'll just never forget it. So looking forward to wherever the next One City World Tour takes us. I definitely think we're doing it again. I hope so.
Well, you're listening to the Who's on First Base baseball podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. It's all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. We got the Shark from Grayson Stadium, the Bananas Stadium Entertainer, right here on the hot seat. So you go from Savannah, Georgia, Grayson Stadium to Hank Aaron Stadium in Mobile, Alabama. I mean, did you anticipate the crowd just buying into everything you guys did out there?
I had it in my head that they knew what they were getting into, kind of. I mean, I guess they didn't really know the entirety of what they were going to see. But when that whole thing happened in the beginning of the game where I messed up and they started singing like it was normal, like I knew it was going to be a good time. The cool thing about and a lot better, like, and I say this with all due respect to Grayson, but, and now that I'm down amongst the crowd, it's a lot better, but I had a really great vantage point where I was at the Hank. And so I could hear just kind of like I can now, not so much because I was still in a booth, but I could hear the crowd react to certain things that were going on in the field, like Maceo dancing at first base. They'd never seen anything like that before. And by the way, that guy is incredible. It's amazing to watch him. You know, I just click on a song and he is just like that and does what he does. But yeah, I heard some people, audibly gasp when he does flips over at first base. You know, we had an umpire that was calling plays with flips. I'd like to put myself in the crowd sometimes and wonder how they react or what they're thinking, like what is going on. But yeah, I mean, Mobile definitely enjoyed themselves and I can't say that I expected it to be or them to be as loud and as obnoxious and have a good enough time. I knew what show we would put on, but I didn't know that they'd be into it as much as they were. It was incredible.
Well, Kyle?
No. You open your mouth first. What you got for me, Coach?
You first.
No, I was just going to get to Mark. We're about a month away, 6 weeks away from the date with the Making Bacon. You looking forward to it?
Wow, that's pretty scary, actually, that it's going to be here like that. Yeah, definitely looking forward to it. We got time back. One of the Premier League, actually the Party Animals coach, Adam Moreau's coming on to be an assistant coach with Tyler Gillum. Hopefully that's been announced. If not, I just messed up, but whatever. group of people, baseball guys, but guys who bought in. Obviously Tyler Gillum has been here a few years, but Coach Moreau, one of the best guys you'll ever meet. And he's also totally into what we do, the show at the field. You know, the game's going on, but he's into the show aspect of the thing too. So looking forward to it. Apparently we're going to have some pretty good players coming back, a couple from last year. And, Gillum always recruits the best. We've got a good squad on the way, but the show is what it's all about. So we got to make sure that not only can they pitch or hit, but they can dance a little bit too.
Yeah. The big thing is you get the players out there, not only talented guys, they're going to go on hopefully and get drafted. You know, they're coming in to get the extra at bats. You know, I mentioned on last week's show, I tried to explain to people exactly what the Savannah Bananas do and how the Coastal Plains League works. Kind of reminds me of junior hockey a little bit up in Canada, in parts of, the Northeast.
Yeah.
You're going in to get the work. And if, you know, you're playing in one of the top amateur leagues, you know, in the country, and you're doing this so you can get drafted by a major league team. And we've obviously seen that's happened a bunch of times. What I want to ask, you know, of course you're talking about some of the players coming back. Do you have any kind of tidbits or just any special tricks up your sleeve for what you're going to do up in the booth this season?
Listen, just to touch on the talent level of the league, I don't think anybody expected the play quality to be as good as it was.
It really is. Yeah.
When we first figured out what was going on, I don't think anybody knew the quality of play would be as good as it is. There's some top-notch college kids, not only from big schools, but Juan Collado from one of the young – I said his name a gazillion times last season. Can't remember where he played now, of course, because we're on talking. Mike Dungan, banana from the past for 2 years. He's in the Kansas City organization now in the Royals team. I mean, there's so many good players that have come through banana land and are going to make big names for themselves. As far as what I'm gonna still clown the heck out of other players. What's fun about that is everybody who's coming through now, whether it be the Macon Bacon, and I've gotten to know a lot of those guys too over the years, they get what we're doing. So when I'm really clowning somebody for striking out, they're looking up, they're laughing, they understand why I'm going so hard on them. So it's just been fun. I think Jesse, as he always does, will find a way to make this a bigger and better show this coming season, and so on and so forth. Never going to be the same thing. You're going to hear different things. But what's weird in my head when I'm just doing my regular job as a radio program director, if I hear a song that I know is going to pop in the ballpark, I make sure I note it and, you know, make sure I have a thing in my head going to play. Right, jot it down. If I hear a movie clip that'll work, if somebody strikes out or does something stupid in the field, I make sure I jot it down so that, you know, TikTok has been a really good resource for me because, you know, that's you know, the error in the game in Mobile, and I played the oh no, the TikTok. There's so many things that the kids, the younger kids, the teens that come to the games, laugh their face off when I play that kind of stuff that they've heard on TikTok a million times. And again, I can't tell you how much fun it is for me when the players get a laugh out of stuff that I do too. I love that too. So it's a lot of fun, and my job's the best.
I'll give you one, Shark.
Talk to me.
Donut. That's the best.
Okay. In Mobile, it took me about 10 seconds to get people chanting donut because they're like, why are we chanting donut? And they actually had Krispy Kreme as a sponsor giving away a donut.
That's perfect.
But they were just kind of like, why is he chanting donut? And then 3,500 people strong just doing it. And then I made the mistake of saying, now scream it. Meaning, scream the word donut. Instead, I got a bunch of little kids and preteen girls screaming at the top of their lungs, like squealing. The coolest first sound I've ever heard in my life, but it was awesome.
All right. I did just think of something. Now, here's a good clip you can pull up. It's Clancy Wiggum from The Simpsons, you know, Chief Clancy Wiggum going, donuts, I've got donuts. Try to look that one up. It's on YouTube. Yes. Yeah. That's a good one. I know you.
I used to use Homer. He said, donuts.
Yes.
There's a whole bunch of stuff. If you ever have any ideas for me, please shoot them my way.
I'll send you a message. But yeah, that just popped into my head when you said donut. That is perfect. Okay. So one last thing from me.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about it a little bit. I was trying to, of course, I wanted to talk about, you know, your plans for what you're going to do in the booth. But, you know, I should have led it a little bit differently. Who do you think is the most impressive? I want to call them prospects. I mean, they're bananas, but you know, these kids are going to get drafted. Who is the most impressive banana you've seen during your tenure at Grayson?
Well, I mentioned one of them, Clay Dungan.
Correct.
If he's not called up with the big squad for the Royals in the next year or most two, I'll be very surprised because he could swing the stick. He's got a great glove too. I think he's one of them. Jameson Hanna, if you remember him from the yes. very first season, he is now in the Cincinnati Reds organization, I think. But watching him and those, I mean, that's the year we won the chip, I think. But he's left-handed, you know, speed. He's a five-tool player. But there's a bunch. And then we just had Gabe. Why can't I think of? He was our shortstop last year. But anyway,
right.
I think I say these guys' names every shortstop for us.
You got a lot of names.
There's so many people that I could go through that that, again, they're here for the fun and for the entertainment value of it, but they're really great ball players too. That's fun.
Well, Mark, Shark, we appreciate it. The stadium entertainer, just go up there. You see the Shark Tank. You can't miss the guy. And once again, we appreciate what you do. You get the crowd going. You do a great job doing it. Can't wait to see it. More people in the stadium this year. But once again, we'll have you on again. And the last thing, because you're a connoisseur of food like me.
Yeah.
I've asked all my guests this.
Okay.
Is a hot dog a sandwich or its own entity?
Oh, boy. Gabe Howell, by the way, is his name. Hot dog a sandwich. I've had this argument a bunch of times. It's got bread, hot dogs, and meat. Yes, sandwich.
Okay. He's the only
one.
A
different answer every week, Coach.
Every week it's a different answer. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care,
Appreciate
Shark.
You guys. We'll
hope to see you out at the park.
Yes, sir. We will.
Mark,
see you guys.
The Shark Eatus does a great job in Banana Land in Grayson Stadium. He is the voice of Grayson Stadium. And you got to get a chance to go out there and you got to see his little shtick. As he should have said, he's from Jersey. He has a shtick, and he's got to do it, but he does a great job. He makes that experience so much more fun.
Yeah, he really does. I mean, heck of a guy. I've talked to him in the past. We've done a little bit of work together, and yeah, just a genuinely nice guy. But I mean, I was over over at the park. I'm over there. I mean, of course, there's a delightful dog park, and if you listen to last week's show, you obviously heard a beagle barking in the background. So, what's great is hearing them gearing up for the game. And I'm like, oh, that's Shark. I mean, like, you can hear that voice just all the way from Grayson over to the fire station around the dog park. So it's he does a heck of a job. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to this season, and I hope we get to have him back on again.
All right. You're listening to the Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. It's all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. Got to appreciate Mark the Shark Eatus coming in here. But it's that time. So far this season, this is the fourth episode. It's one win, one loss, one tie for both of us. This is the fourth game of trivia, and we'll see if the coach can beat him again tonight. Okay, I'll keep track of the score. You're up first. Well, I'm up first. Throw your question at me there, Mr. Baseball Fanatic.
All right. Okay. Who is the oldest player to lead Major League Baseball in home runs?
Oldest to lead the main. I got to go with Hank Aaron.
No, very good guess. It was actually Darryl Evans from Darryl the Detroit Evans. Tigers at 38 years old.
Yeah,
85 Detroit Tigers.
I remember.
Good guess.
Okay, well, for me, it's been 50 years since, 60 years since we had the season of 61, right? 60 years, right? So here's my first question, okay? I'll get to a little tough ones in a couple minutes, but the first one's very easy. Who were the two expansion in the 1961 season, and they have to be the exact names?
The two expansion teams?
Yep.
Okay, so now in 60...
Go ahead.
Okay, in 61, okay, there were the expansion Washington Senators... And there were the expansion Minnesota Twins, which were originally the old Senators.
Yeah, I know. All right, you got it.
Just watch the movie 61, the Billy Crystal movie. It's great.
Okay, but that was the American League. How about the Correct. National League?
Okay, so National League. Okay, now, actually, National League didn't do expansion until 62.
It was 62. The Mets came in. Okay.
Yeah, it would have Mets and the Houston Colt 45s. Trust okay. me, I can help you out on this one.
All right. Well, you got it right. You got it right. Okay, so you're up 1-0. Let's go. Second inning.
Okay. Now, Babe Ruth was originally signed as a major league player with the Boston Red Sox. Who was the minor league team that he originally played for?
I mean, I know – he was born and raised in Baltimore. I got to go with the Baltimore Orioles. I don't know.
You got it. The okay. International League, Baltimore Orioles, Jack Dunn owned his rights and sold him to Boston in 1914. Well done. So we're tied up.
Where did the original Baltimore Orioles move? That they had to get themselves in a minor league team. Where'd they move to? I think it was 1902?
Yeah, the 1903 season, they became the New York Highlanders. They were commonly known as the Yankees as of 1913. Yeah, well done, sir.
I know. We both knew that one. All right. So it's my question to you. You'll probably get this. You probably know it. I'm sticking with 1961. On October 1st, 1961, is the game in which Roger Maris hit the record-breaking 61st home run, breaking Babe Ruth's 34-year-old single-season record of 60. All right? Tell me what the final score was and who the Yankees beat.
Okay, the Yankees beat the Red Sox. I know that. He hit the home run off of Tracy Stoddard, and I think it was 1-0.
I asked for the score. It was 1-0, but it's Tracy Stoddard.
It was Stoddard or Stoddard?
Stallard. S-T-A-L-A-R-D.
Stallard.
Right.
Stallard. Oh, come on.
Hey, but you got it. I asked for the score. Okay.
Yeah, well, I still gave you that.
Hey.
Okay.
Here's another little bit of trivia in that game.
That still bothers me. You know that. What you got?
All right. Here's a little more trivia. Okay. You're up 2-1. You're in the lead, but here's a little more trivia to that game. How much money did Maris get for breaking a record, and what did he use it for?
Ooh, okay. I know the guy that got the ball, I think, sold it for about $5,000.
Right.
Now, I don't know how much money Maris got for it. I really don't know.
$5,000?
Yeah, he also got $5,000. And
he got a trip. He got a trip to Sacramento offered by a Sacramento restaurant, and it was a round trip to the 1962 Seattle's World's Fair.
Interesting. Wow.
So,
man, yeah, you had to dig deep on that one.
Well, I didn't know that. I mean, it was just fun, fascinating.
No, that's good. I love that.
All right. Last inning for me.
Last one.
This, you win.
Okay. So, it's 2-1. All right. Who was the first shortstop to steal 100 bases in a season?
In a season.
Correct.
100 bases in the season, a shortstop. Is it modern day or old time?
Modern day. It's modern day within your lifetime.
I don't know why. I'm thinking of the Wizard of Oz, Ozzie Smith. I have no idea.
Very good guess, but it's Maury Wills, 1962 with the L.A. Dodgers.
Maury Wills. Oh.
I met him once. Heck of a nice guy.
All right. You're back up. You got 2 wins this year so far.
Let's go.
All right. Well, I'm going to throw my last one at you anyway.
Do it. Right? Come on.
It shouldn't be too hard for you, okay?
All right.
Who was the only player to hit 2 grand slams in 1 inning?
Oh, Fernando Tatis Sr.
Okay. And who was the pitcher he hit both off of?
Oh, geez. Okay, so he's playing for the Cardinals. I'm trying to think who he would have. Well, I don't think it was playing against my Cubbies, but ooh, yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is bonus, so I'm just going to ask.
Chan Ho Park
from the Dodgers. Well,
gave
done
up both grand slams. Why was still in there? In a 2 2/3, 8-hit, 11-run performance, they didn't go to the bullpen.
That is a rough day at the office, my friend.
So, all right, now, boss man. Well, we had a rough week for the Braves. You know, they lost 4, they won 4, they lost on a replay, their bullpen blew it. They're playing tonight against the Fish again, so we'll see what happens when we get together next week. We hope Mr. Max Fried does a great job tonight, and he gets back to his old routine like he was last year. So we got to be excited about that, and there'll be plenty more baseball news that we can get to. And like we do every week, we'll always have a banana on to talk a little bit Savannah Bananas.
Absolutely, Coach. Great show. Can't wait for it. The Braves, I really feel like we're going to have a strong week. And hopefully Maxie can get back to his normal self tonight. But it's going to be a good start. I can't wait to watch him do that the minute we get done with this here. So have a good one, Coach.
All right. First of all, Sunday Night Baseball. Who's playing?
Well, the Braves are playing, obviously.
Against who?
Actually, yeah, I didn't even look that far ahead. I just looked at the Fish schedule. We playing Philadelphia again? Or are we playing? Oh, yeah, they're playing us. I forgot. They're playing my Cubbies.
There you go.
The way we're hitting, I am not too excited about it. So this could help pad their lead. Thank you for rubbing that in my face.
I'll take the Braves. You got the Cubs. We'll meet someplace, have a choice of our beverage. I'll probably have a Coca-Cola. You'll have an adult beverage. But we'll sit down. Well, you know what?
I'm a Coke Zero man.
All right. Well, last week I got into a little of Arnold Palmer. I got a little into the lemonade and sweet tea. So
that's a good one. That's an underrated beverage.
That's been my choice of drink, and you can get yours. So anyway, until we talk next week, remember, whatever you may be doing today, tomorrow, always hit it at the park. And until next week, and it may be your best week ever. We're out of here. God bless. Wash those hands. Social distance. We'll see you next week.
Take care.